voice of the world, the sound with the beat, the sound that sets you tapping your feet. Radio, the sound of year-round pleasure. The sound of the news, rhythm and blues,
Tchaikovsky swing, whatever you choose.
Radio, the sound of year-round pleasure.
Welcome to All Things Radio, your weekly radio magazine. With radio news from a national perspective, caller and format changes, sports news, featured radio stations from yesterday and today, your voicemails and phone calls, as well as special guests and featured segments. And now here's your host, Bill Sparks.
Educate, syncopate, radio communicate, radio, the sound of year-round pleasure.
Well, hello and welcome to All Things Radio 716. We've had a momentous week this week. This is the week we turned 15 years old. We did our first podcast on March 19th, 2009. So that means we're 15 years old. So we're very proud of that fact. And the person who's helped that happen has been here for every show. And that's the award winner himself. That's Jeff.
Well, thank you very much, Bill. First of all, it's March Madness time, so I know that you guys want to probably listen to the basketball games on Westwood One or on Sirius XM, whatever. But we have a busy show this week. First of all, we'll start things off with our radio news from a national perspective, following it up with Jennifer Sparks, Pollinator and format changes, and next up, a feature on John Madden, and of course you all know who he is, as he was paid tribute to on KCBS AM, in San Francisco, California. Next up, we're traveling to the Big Apple, and we're going to listen to a radio announcer I really enjoy, and we never had him on All Things Radio, and that's Bob Lewis, Big Bobaloo on WABC from February 7th, 1964, and that's a very special date, and he'll talk about it on the show as well. Finally, radio is changing, and it is changing in many ways, and one of the ways that it's really changing is that there are radio people who don't work for one radio station. They work for a number of radio stations as subcontracted employees, and they voice track. And I got this idea from JR, my buddy out in his sister calls me a bad influence on him, and I'm a bad influence on him, and he's one on me. But he's my buddy, and we always go out to dinner on Fridays. He said, why don't you do something on Marissa on the radio? So I have her on two different radio stations with two very, very different formats. One in Saratoga, New York, Star Radio. And the other one, a 95XXX WXXX in Burlington, Vermont. So all in all, I think we have a pretty busy show. I'll turn it over to you, Bill. And the basketballs are still bouncing, and March Madness is upon us. So over to you, Bill. You and Bernie can chat it up.
Well, I don't think we probably don't have too much to talk about this week. Because I think it's like last week, the week before, and the week before.
Yeah, pretty much like that. Although I was thinking about this, you were talking about basketball, and got me thinking about Bill Shirk and his promo on WXLW when he the WXLW has balls, and he was giving away basketballs.
Wow,
that's true. You know,
many centuries ago.
And did he get in trouble for it? Were people upset about it when that was going on at that time?
No.
Well, the stations he is on, sure, I don't think sure anybody cared.
I'm sure they probably got some calls, but it seemed to go just fine.
Yeah.
Was he always like a larger-than-life individual? I mean, every time I hear stuff that he's done, and I've had a lot of air checks of him and talk about him, it seems like he was bigger than life. Was he like that in person?
That's a good way to describe him, and yes, he was that way in person. Last time I saw him, we had dinner together. And he was nonstop the whole meal.
Did he buy the ticket? Did he buy the meal?
Yes, he did.
That's very good. See? Yeah. You got a free meal. I bet I remember when he did those commercials. But I was trying to think. I looked on the radio dial a little bit today, and zero changes. It sounds just as bad.
Yeah.
As it did. I mean, you don't even give, you know, E-Skip or Skip, where FM, you get distant cities or whatever. That doesn't even happen. You just get the same old,
same old thing.
And I don't know why these stations like, what is it? Well, I'd love to take over that station. What is it? I don't know what they're calling themselves. 103.3, the X, whatever they call themselves. I'd like to have that signal. But they have an HD2 channel of Bloomberg Radio. How many listeners do you think they have on Bloomberg Radio?
-2.
Yeah. And why?
Yeah, on HD2, that'd be, you know, that's kind of, you know, skimpy. I mean, if you have it on a regular signal, I bet they do okay. I mean, I'm not saying they're killing everything, but in the cities where they have their, you know, Boston, New York, San Francisco, I think they're doing all right. They've got a spot on the dial. People know where they are. And I listen to them a little bit. I think they're interesting.
I'm not even sure that they subscribe to the book because they really don't care because they have a very, very good They don't have initial. By the way, for those who'd like to know, and I always get asked, well, who was on the panel? Well, we're missing two people because they're probably watching March Madness games. However, we have Bernie and Bill in Indianapolis, Indiana. Chris is in Quincy, Massachusetts. Mike is in Aventura, Florida. Gary's in Austin, Texas. And I'm in little old Albany, New York.
Little old. It's old. I don't know if it's so little. When you want to go to that part of the state, you go to the time forgot.
Albany, New York.
It's, you know, but no, I've noticed no changes at all. Nothing inspires me to listen. But that you wonder really how many listeners do these HD streams actually have? Because, you know, on a portable radio, you've got to move your radio a little bit a certain way to get it. I mean, Maybe if you're in a car or whatever, but what would compel you? I mean, it's just a fringe stuff. Well, now,
good programming would do it, but they don't have good programming.
So, no, they don't.
Go ahead, Jeff. I think if I was looking at the ratings, like WINS, all the way down to the bottom of the list, the HD2, which broadcasts an alternative rock format and is going to be broadcasting the New York Mets games in Spanish, has like a 0.1 rating, and sometimes there are months when they're not listed. So that, what does it say? You know.
So I don't know. I got something, Jeff, on my TV. This kind of relates to us here. It's TS 3.0. What is that?
That's another standard by which they compress the digital signals and they can put a number of different signals on one channel.
Well, what I'm trying to do, you can get 50 radio stations on one channel.
Right. that's exactly what they said. Remember that, Bill?
Yeah.
A few months, we were talking about that a while ago on the Things Radio.
This TV's got it built into it. So, I don't know. You know, whatever.
Well, isn't that where people can get somehow... And I don't understand the technology, but isn't that where people get like MeTV and stuff in as sub channels of the regular TV
channel?
Well,
this is even more advanced, Chris. They can actually scramble the signals, and at some point they can actually charge people to listen to certain channels if they want to.
Okay,
they got to find a way to get your money somehow. But
yeah,
I don't think that over the air TV will be totally paid for, but you know, a pay service. However, if they can get away with charging people to watch certain channels, that might happen.
Well, when you think about it, and you're an advertiser, and how the economics of this even works, you know, we talk about the economics of radio not working very well. Economics of TV doesn't work very well either. If you DVR something, we used to go through, and this is years ago, my second wife, she'd record Big Brother, and we'd watch it later, and it took us about 35, 40 minutes to watch the whole show because she'd fast-forward through the commercials. And
sure.
Where does anybody who's watching these commercials? So they're going to have to figure out a way to, you know, have people pay for something if they're going to support this, because I would think the economics almost of TV is worse than radio as far as commercials and attention to them.
And now you can actually on your DVR, you can actually skip the commercials because it'll start and stop.
Yeah. And now,
okay.
Now on my TV,
and you don't even have to.
you can record all these shows, like
yeah,
tons and hours and days worth, and you can record them, Bernie, and skip through that stuff. So
yeah, my wife does. She records a lot of stuff.
I mean, why would you go to a movie or go anyplace else when you got your 65-inch TV and you got the big screen and you've got this and you're whatever and you get a good...
I have a 60-inch.
Yeah, good sound or...
Don't whatever. Be bragging on the radio there, Bernie. You know, come on.
I know.
Well, somebody's at least got it. Yeah, so...
Yeah,
you know,
I still have my Fire TV, and it still works barely, but it works. Go ahead, Bernie.
The thing is interesting is my wife likes audio description.
Yeah, you said
she
that.
It turned on.
Does she?
Yeah, she leaves it turned on all the time.
Hmm.
And you know, Comcast does a good job of implementing that. Actually,
yeah, they do.
They do. Right's right and wrong's wrong. And Comcast, Jeff, how does? Does Spectrum do a good job of it?
Yes, it does. As long as the station is broadcasting audio described programming, it's available on Spectrum. And I'm not saying that every channel is, but the network channels are. I mean, CBS is, Fox is, ABC
is. And it's
gotten
down to the smaller markets now. You know, it used to be the top 25 or so. And, you know, now that I know they put in a thing 2-3 years ago to say to expand it to more markets to make them do it in smaller markets.
I mean, what's the difference? I mean, they're carrying it off the network anyway. So what's the difference? If you're in market number one or market number 75.
Right.
I mean...
Well, that was the red herring, you know, that the broadcasters threw up. Well, you know, all right, we could maybe do it the big way. We can't do it all over the country. Right? You know, these stations don't have the expense. You know, they don't have the engineering. They don't have this. They don't have that. But whatever. And, you know, like anything else, delay, delay, delay. And that's what they did for years.
Right. As,
you know, and ACB and Ed Markey and everybody fought. And finally it got expanded to, I don't know what the number is now, but a top 50 or 70 or something. You know, it used to be the top 20 or something. So, yeah. Took a while.
I mean, Chris, you and your wife can sit there and watch, what is it? What's that? Hallmark TV all night. They do descriptive shows on their channels. You can watch that all day long and all night.
One of my favorite shows is The Good Doctor, and I get to watch that with descriptive audio. This is the last year for the program. It was a show that was well ahead of its time, and
it's a good show.
I very much enjoy it, and it's very realistic in many ways, and I just like it a lot. So,
sounds good stuff. But how about it's time for some award-winning news. We've talked about award-winning TV and and some of the descriptive channels. And
I hope the audio is. I hope this news is audio described. That's all I can say.
I do too.
When we go to YouTube, Bernie, we'll have to audio describe it.
That's right.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. We'll have to audio describe it, and they'll take a look at a couple of us on the panel, and they'll go, would you guys please go back to video? I mean, back to audio.
Yeah, we don't want to smoke any guys out there.
That's right.
Well, it's time for the award winner himself.
I'm Jeff Bennett for All Things Radio, and here's what's happening in the world of broadcasting. Town Square Media reports its fourth quarter revenue results, and Odyssey files a plan to get out of bankruptcy with the FCC. Plus, there's lots of news on the street, and we'll begin our look at the Nielsen February Personal People Meter ratings. It was yet another busy week in the world of broadcasting, with news from Odyssey, Town Square Media, and iHeartMedia. Let's first take a look at Town Square Media, who reported their fourth quarter revenue results, and they were down 0.9%. The big problem with Town Square Media is the same problem that's facing many other radio companies. The ad revenue from national advertising was down, affecting their bottom line. However, Town Square Media reported that their revenue from digital was up 51%. In other news, Odyssey files paperwork with the FCC to get their stations out of bankruptcy, and two hedge fund companies will hold a majority stake in the company. Odyssey is also asking the FCC to allow foreign investment in the company, since the companies that own these hedge funds have foreign investors. And due to changes in the market, Odyssey will be divesting itself of one radio station in South Carolina. And that radio station is Magic 106.3 WSPA-FM. That radio station will be placed into a divestiture trust, And we'll let you know more about this in a future All Things Radio live broadcast. A Shakespeare play once said, "Beware the Ides of March, March 15th. On that day, iHeartMedia made major job cuts in a number of its radio markets. This time, iHeartMedia made changes to its programming department, cutting a number of positions. In Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, Amber Miller Bouchard was let go. She was the assistant program director at radio station WRFF-FM 104.5 with an alternative rock format. She hosted middays at the radio station, and she was the assistant program director for the radio station as well. Zach Owen, PD and morning host at radio station WACO-FM in Waco, Texas, also had his job eliminated. He had been with the radio station since 1992, and he was a regional programmer for the company as well. LJ Smith's job was also eliminated. He worked for the company in Columbia, South Carolina, and he was the regional program director for five markets as well. He had been with the company since 2002. And in Cleveland, Ohio, Steve Woz also had his job eliminated. He was the morning host at radio station WGAR-FM, and he was the assistant program director for the radio station as well. In Huntsville, Alabama, iHeartMedia said so long to Eric West. Eric West was the assistant program director at radio station WDRM-FM, programming a country format. He also did middays for the radio station, and he had been with the radio station since 2006. This list is ultimately going to grow, and we'll let you know more about this when we hear about it. Now let's take a quick look and find out what's happening on the street. In St. Louis, Missouri, Odyssey said so long to their morning team at radio station WHHL-FM. The station broadcast a hip-hop format. The morning show consisted of the home team, Prince Jordan and Tiffany Fox, and they had been with the radio station since 2021. Odyssey is also making news in Cleveland, Ohio, with the departure of Morgan Wright, who had been co-hosting mornings at radio station WQAL-FM. Morgan Wright said that this was her own decision and that she decided to not renew her contract with Odyssey. That means the morning show will be hosted by Bill Ryan alone at this point. At radio station WHTZ-FM, they're saying so long to Mark Medina, who had been programming radio station WHTZ-FM since 2015. Mark Medina is moving to Phoenix, Arizona, to be cluster program director for their Phoenix properties, and Mark Adams will be taking the reins of program director at radio station WHTZ-FM. He holds the position as format captain for iHeartMedia's top 40 radio stations, and he comes to this radio station after working for iHeartMedia in Phoenix, Arizona. In other news, Odyssey is saying so long to Tim Clark, who's their vice president of digital programming. His position has been eliminated, and his job responsibilities will be absorbed by other members of the digital team for the company. Now let's move to San Francisco, California, where radio station KEXP-FM will be changing formats. The station will become non-commercial and simulcast the programming of radio station KEXP-FM in Seattle, Washington. KEXP-FM is a public radio station broadcasting an eclectic mix of music. KREV-FM is stunting right now, and when the new format appears on the radio, the call letters will be changing to KREC-FM. Finally, out on Long Island, say so long to radio station WBZO-FM, broadcasting a classic hits format on 103.1. The station has applied to change their call letters to WWWF-FM, and the station will be programming a country format. Now it's time to begin our look at the Nielsen February Personal People Meter ratings. In New York City, the number one ranked radio station is WLTW-FM with an adult contemporary format. The number two ranked radio station is WAXQ-FM with a classic rock format. Finally, the number three ranked radio station in New York City is WHCZ-FM with a top 40 format. In Los Angeles, California, the number one ranked radio station is KOST-FM with an adult contemporary format. The number two ranked radio station is KRTH-FM with a classic hits format. Finally, the number three ranked radio station in Los Angeles, California is KFI-AM with a news talk format. In Chicago, Illinois, the number one ranked radio station is WLIT-FM with an adult contemporary format. The number two ranked radio station is WDRV-FM with a classic rock format. Finally, the number three ranked radio station in Chicago, Illinois is WBBM-AM with its all news operation. In San Francisco, California, the number one ranked radio station is KOIT-FM with an adult contemporary format. The number two ranked radio station is KQED-FM. That's the public broadcaster with a news talk format. Finally, the number three ranked radio station in San Francisco, California is KCBS-AM with its all news operation. In Dallas, Texas, the number one ranked radio station is KLNO-FM with the regional Mexican format. The number two ranked radio station is KTCK-FM with an all sports format. Finally, the number three ranked radio station in Dallas, Texas is KDGE-FM with an adult contemporary format. In Houston, Texas, the number one ranked radio station is KODA-FM with an adult contemporary format. The number two ranked radio station is KSBJ-FM with a Christian CHR format. Finally, the number three ranked radio station in Houston, Texas is KGLK-FM with a classic rock format. In Atlanta, Georgia, the number one ranked radio station is WSRV-FM with a classic hits format. The number two ranked radio station is WAMJ-FM with an urban format. Finally, the number three ranked radio station in Atlanta, Georgia is WSB-AM with a news talk format. In Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, the number one ranked radio station is WMGK-FM with a classic rock format. The number 2 rock radio station is WMMR-FM, with a rock format. Finally, the number 3 rock radio station in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, is WDAS-FM, with an urban adult contemporary format. Out on Long Island, the number 1 rock radio station is WBAB-FM, with a classic rock format. The number 2 rec radio station is WHTZ-FM, with a top 40 format. Finally, the number 3 rec radio station out on Long Island is WINS-FM, with its all-news operation. In Riverside, California, the number 1 rec radio station is KOLA-FM, with a classic hits format. The number 2 rec radio station is KFRG-FM, with a country format. Finally, the number 3 rec radio station in Riverside, California is KLYY-FM, with a regional Mexican format. In San Jose, California, the number 1 rec radio station is KUFX-FM with a classic rock format. The number 2 rec radio station is KMVQ-FM with a top 40 format. Finally, the number 3 rec radio station in San Jose, California is KIT-FM with an adult contemporary format. Finally, out of New Jersey, and that encompasses the counties of Middlesex, Somerset, and Union, the number 1 rec radio station is WAXQ-FM with a classic rock format. The number 2 rec radio station is WKXW-FM with a talk format. Finally, the number 3 rec radio station out of New Jersey is WHTZ-FM with a top 40 format. Finally, let's congratulate Jim Kerr, who has been waking up New Yorkers for 50 years. He came to WPLJ in 1974, worked for a number of radio stations, and he still does mornings at radio station WAXQ-FM, owned and operated by iHeartMedia. If you have any comments concerning this portion of the podcast, there are many ways you can get in touch with me. First of all, you can send me an email. My email address is Jeff, that's J-E-F-F, Jeff, at allthingsradio.net. Or you can send me a voicemail with our feedback line. The phone number is 800-693-0595. That's 800-693-0595, and hit option 2 for the podcast team. For All Things Radio, I'm Jeff Bennett.
Thank you very much, Jeff.
Well, thank you very much, Phil, as well as, and I don't know if you guys listened to Howard Stern, but there was a very, very good podcast yesterday. Howard Stern was on terrestrial radio because he was being broadcast on Sirius Satellite Radio, and he was being broadcast on WAXQ-FM in New York City, and he did a one-on-one interview that lasted for 45 minutes with Jim Kerr. There's a little background to this. Jim Kerr started his radio career when he was a teenager living in Michigan. He got to WLS in 1973, that's WLS AM, and in 1974, he came to New York City working at WABC AM doing mornings, and he worked at a number of different radio stations, and ultimately has been at WAXQ since 2006. So he has been in the New York City radio market for 50 years, and it was a really, really good interview. You know, when everyone thinks of Howard Stern as X-rated, but this was just a really good interview. If you get to listen to it, it's available on XM. And I don't think you have to subscribe to Howard Stern's channel to listen to the past interview. It's available as a podcast. So I think you guys might enjoy that.
Mm-hmm. Was he on, remind me, was he either on Sirius or XM at one? That name sounds familiar, like from satellite radio. Was he involved with satellite radio at all?
Yeah, he was involved with Sirius XM. He may still be. I'm not sure that he is, but he was involved with either the Classic Rock or one of those rock channels, along with Pat St. John, who also worked at WPLJ and some of the other people. So, yes, he has been involved with Sirius XM satellite radio as well.
Yeah, I thought so.
So, as I said before, Bernie is, I mean, you know, he was being in radio for like a long time, like Bernie still in radio 40 plus years and 50 plus years. You don't see that too much anymore. You just don't. So, and he still continues to work. And the lady he's working with, he has worked with at all of radio, all those various radio stations, she does news for him, and that's Shelley Sunstein. And she started with him when he was working at WABC-FM. So it goes on and on, and he still continues to work. And we're about the same age, Jim Kerr and myself. So,
yeah, and she's had a pretty long career, too. I think she just celebrated an anniversary, maybe 35th.
Maybe something like that.
Recent, I remember reading about that recently. So
yeah,
she's that's great that he was able, he had enough pull to bring her. Because you know, if you have chemistry with somebody, that can really make the show. And to be able to bring your news people, and of course, like Imus was able to do it because it was a whole package deal. All the people came with him, and Robin is always with Howard Stern and all that. But you know, when you do that, it gives even more comfort when you go from one place to another to say, oh, they have moved, you know, rather than, oh, he's going to have to get used to this new news guy and the new weather guy and whatever you have to do when you get to a new place.
Well, one of the things that they said, one of the radio columns said that was the first time he had been on terrestrial radio in a long, long time. However, he was on terrestrial radio back in 2010 or 11, working with WIP, being interviewed by Spike Eskin. So That is something that people didn't realize. I didn't know that either. Okay, Edward, out on the West Coast. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah. Hi, Jeff, and everyone. I wanted to let you know that on Tuesday is when that new format changed totally, and so, but it's KESC. You said something different.
Okay, well, thank you for correcting me, because that's how I got it from the news source I had. So,
and what's the format now, Edwin?
Well, it's a real interesting format. They play a lot of rock, alternative rock, and they play some Americana stuff. So I sort of like the format, and I think they're going to have some Latin programming on the weekends. So I hope that it. I hope it's successful.
Well, and they're simulcasting the programming on KEXP out there in Seattle. It's not separate programming.
Well, Edwin, stick around.
It's all from.
Go ahead.
Yeah, it's almost from. It's almost all KEXP programming right now.
Well, that's the way they said it was going to be, at least for now.
In Seattle.
Yes.
Well, Edwin, stick around, because we're going to do something else from San Francisco here in just a moment. So from KCBS.
Yeah, I'm a fan of John Madden.
Oh, okay.
And one other thing I wanted to say about the radio station. I remember back in the K-Jazz station days, which was like 60, 70 years ago. And it never was this good a fidelity as it is now.
Ah.
Well, the fidelity is phenomenal on it.
When they were doing that jazz, did you like jazz? Was that the kind of music you liked to listen to back then?
Some of it. I was more interested in the avant-garde jazz, though, but not what my brother-in-law at that time liked.
I understand. So, well, Ed, thank you very much, and just stick around. I'm sure you'll enjoy the feature on John Madden.
Oh, yeah, I plan on it.
Okay, thank you, sir.
All right. Okay.
Oh, there we go.
Go, Jeff. Let me get back my window and focus here.
Okay, well, I hope you guys enjoyed the John Madden feature, but I also... Oh, I'm sorry. We got Jennifer Sparks calling on format changes, so we don't want to mess Bill up here. Sorry. But Ben messed me up because he was talking about John Madden. So that's my fault. So, but, yeah.
So, Jeff, when does that coffee cut back?
It cuts back tomorrow. I have to come back.
Oh, I was going to say, I don't think it's kicked in quite yet.
No, it has. Not quite, Bill.
Not quite.
Oh, dear.
He has to do these things in stages, folks.
Yeah, that's right.
They have to ease into it. But Jennifer says this is the shortest call letter and format thing she's ever done. Let's see how long it is when we get... So let's see if she's really correct here.
Hello, everyone. I'm Jennifer Sparks, and here are your call letter and format changes for the week of March 21st. KCGB FM 105.5 Hood River, Oregon changes slogan from KCBG 96.9 105.5 to Today's Best Hits, 96.9, 105.5. WMIS AM 1240, Natchez, Mississippi, changes format from News Talk to Urban Adult Contemporary and changes slogan from 1240 AM, The Buzz of Natchez, to 97.7, The Beat. KLFF FM 89.3, San Luis Obispo, California, changes slogan from Life 89.3 to Family Life Radio. And those are your call letter and format changes for this week, which may be the shortest week in history. Have a great week, everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we had a 5-day week this week, didn't we? Yeah.
Yes.
Anyway, I was muted there for a long time. Did I do something to mute myself?
I know you left and you came back in, so I'm not sure why you were muted.
But no, I left because I was muted. And you couldn't. Nobody was.
Oh, you couldn't unmute.
I know. I didn't touch it, but maybe Zoom did something again.
Yeah,
it does happen.
Yeah, we didn't. I think that
format thing is about as long as Sunshine, Lollipops, and Rainbows. I think that'd be pretty close.
One thing I will tell you, Bernie, unless it's something way out of whack, you're too busy pulling in and taking stuff or moving it around to really worry about that. So I think you're pretty safe. Yeah. So no,
because I wanted to talk about the Jim Kerr thing, which was
you still
on Howard earlier this week.
Did you get to hear it, Bernie?
I did. Yeah.
Was it good?
Incredibly good. It was really good. What a voice he's got too. I'm telling you, he's got. You know, that's the kind of voice. I always tell my wife, I hear a great radio guy. I go, that's the kind of voice I want to have. Next time, that's the kind of voice I want to.
When I grow up,
I like your voice the way it is. I mean, there are guys on this panel who have better voices than I do, and I'm envious, you know.
Howard Stern, you know, did you hear Howard Stern? He was envious of Jim Kerr's voice as well, and it was
absolutely.
They actually had a chemistry. Howard Stern, when he's doing it right, and lately he's been doing it right, because I've heard him interview Billy Joel and various people. He just knows how to just get the person going to do the talking. He just he has a way with the
interview. Yeah, he does. Yeah.
I wonder if he's relaxing. You know, he's getting to be about, 70 or so now. I wonder if he's 70, relaxing. Yeah. You know, sometimes I think people, you know, obviously he's made all the money. He's going to, you know, whatever. He's not in competitive. You know, he's got the basically lifetime contract from SiriusXM since 2006 or whatever. Basically, it seems to me that, you know, you get to a point you mellow and you relax and you can do some of your best stuff when you're not chasing everybody. You know, am I doing better than Imus this week or whatever? You know, that kind of thing that he used to have to do when he was
well,
in commercial
he's also
radio.
He's also changed his act. It's not as much of the shock stuff like he used to do. Obviously, he's matured over the years.
Exactly.
And the other thing is, Chris, he's not on 5 days a week. He's only on, I think, if I'm not mistaken, is it 3 days a week, Bernie, if I'm not mistaken? And so,
what do they run the other days? Are there replays and stuff?
Reruns.
There's two channels for Howard Stern. There's Howard 100 and Howard 101, and they between the two channels, you get to hear all the Howard Stern you want to hear.
Okay.
And so, I think what a lot of it is that he got to a point where it's like, okay, I've said all the obscenities I can say, I've done all the obscene things I can do, so. It's not as much fun to do that kind of stuff anymore. So let's do serious stuff. Let's do interviews. Let's And he does such a good job with them. But at the same time, I don't think he would be where he is if he hadn't been a shock jock for a long time.
Right.
That's true.
You know, he went to my alma mater, Boston University. Did you know that?
Did he?
I didn't know that.
I did not know that.
Yeah. But Bernie, you also have to say the other thing is he also wouldn't have been where he is now. Because when he left terrestrial radio, when he went to satellite radio, they gave him that opportunity to do what he wanted to do, because he didn't have to worry about the FCC, and he didn't have to worry about advertising pressure, and he didn't have to. And people who would listen to him on radio came over to listen to him on the satellite.
Yes,
sure.
He is the reason that, and as I say every time we talk about this, that Sirius was driving that merger, not XM, who had more listeners.
That's true. And he went to summer camp with me. I didn't know him, but I don't believe I ever knew him, but he went to the same summer camp I did at the same time that I went. So, that's the only thing I have
to
comment.
He didn't swear at you, though?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. But I do love, and sometimes he'll still play.
He never mentions you either.
No, yeah, and I don't mention him too much either. Oh, what was I going to tell you? My cleaning lady likes to listen to him, and I love when he plays the recordings of him and his father. Sit down and shut up. Shut up and sit down. He plays the recordings of his dad from back in the day when he was a little kid. I get that because sometimes my dad would say the same thing to me. So
shut up in your face. Yeah, you know, whatever.
He's definitely someone to listen to. And I think, Chris, if you have satellite radio and you have that, you might want to listen to that interview. You can search for it. It was very well done.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's probably on the archive of the, on the archive somehow.
Yes, it is. And he was a good, like I said, it was a good interview. The interview he did with Bruce Springsteen was good. The one he did with, I think, Barbara Streisand, I heard, was good. And the one he did with Billy Joel, that was good as well. So these people are asking to be on his show. So,
Well, you know, if you listen, if you name those names, what's the connection? New York metropolitan area. And I think, you know, if you grow up in an area with people, you're comfortable with them, you know what's where the bodies are buried, you know, and you kind of went through, and there are people that went through, you know, the 50s, 60s, 70s together in New York, you know, involved in New York for various reasons. And so I think it makes it, you know, easier. It's like falling off a log to talk to people. You know, when you're talking to somebody that's been in your area doing the same things, remembers the same stuff you do, it makes it a lot easier. And around the same age, you know, Barbara's a little older than they are, but, you know, Bruce Springsteen's 4 or 5 years older than he is, et cetera. You know, they're close enough so that it still went through the, you remember the night of the blackout? What were you doing? You know, that kind of stuff you could do if you want.
Well, the other thing is he was also quite a prolific guest at one time on the, he was on the David Letterman show as well and many times. And, of course, David Letterman is from, I'm going to say he's from Muncie, Indiana originally or something like that, but he's definitely...
No, he's from Indianapolis.
Oh, Indianapolis.
He's from Indianapolis.
Okay,
yeah.
So that's another...
Yeah, the Muncie connection is good. He went to Ball State where I went.
Oh, okay. But...
Yeah.
So...
But it was before me.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
Well, Howard was... I was before Howard because I graduated in 71, and if he's... the age that I think he is. It's just I heard him mention one time that he, you know, left New York and came up here to go to BU. And so that I was gone by that time. But so he didn't swear at me either. But, you know, just the idea of it's just kind of cool. One of our famous alumni, I guess.
And I know someone who met him. And Bernie, like Rush Limbaugh, when you meet Rush Limbaugh, he's very quiet, very subdued. What you see with him in person is different.
He's dead.
Well,
he's been much quieter the last few years. People have been
quieter. He's a lot quieter now.
Yeah. Definitely much quieter. But what I'm trying to say is when you met Rush Limbaugh, he was much different than he was with his on-air persona.
Somebody I know met Chris Russo, and the same thing, you know, Mad Dog, who screams and yells and, you know, all that. And that she said he was very soft-spoken. So.
Somebody met me once and said, God, you are so loud. You're louder in person than you are on the radio, and I can turn the volume all the way up.
Well, that's right, because they didn't have a volume control anymore. They were feeling out of control, didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
Well, how about if we have a volume, not volume, how about if we listen to John Madden, who can tell us all about...
Now, there's somebody who was loud. He controlled a room, you know. You hear people talk about him. He was just the same way all his life, you know, in all through his career. And went right into media very naturally. One of the most natural people to go from coaching into the media. You put a microphone in front of him, he starts talking. And that's what he did all his life. So that totally worked.
And he made no secret of the kind of person he was. You knew exactly what you were getting with John Madden. And
that's right.
It was fun.
Yes.
Well, here he comes right now.
He's dead, too.
He is.
I use a jackhammer, and, you know, like guys have different hobbies, and they do different things, and one of my things have always been a jackhammer.
Well, you just dig holes, or what?
No, jackhammer is not to dig holes. Jackhammer is to, like, tear up cement.
You know the voice.
You dig a hole, maybe after you jackhammer, something is covered by cement that you don't want covered, that you have to get to.
The one and only John Madden.
You know, like you look at cement or stuff, and you know that there's something underneath that cement that you have to get to, so you use a jackhammer to get there.
While the rest of America heard him as a legendary broadcaster on NFL Sundays, alongside greats like Pat Summerall and Al Michaels, here in the Bay Area, we heard John Madden in his truest form. A weekly fixture on KCBS Radio for the better part of 21 years. Always gracious. Personable, informed, and always hilarious.
Then you have to have, you know, the style to do it because, you know, weight is important. Like, you'd have a tough time being a jackhammer.
A really hard time, yeah.
Because the jackhammer would throw you all over the place.
That's
because
right.
You got to get into it, get it started, then you got to give it that lean. And that's why most jackhammer guys have a little compilation hanging over their thing, because then you hang that over the top, and then that gets you, you know, the jackhammer going, and then you just keep jackhammering. And then usually the back of your pants will fall down to a certain.
Not again,
yeah,
no.
No, no. The back, you always have, if you jackhammer, you've never seen a jackhammer that doesn't have the back of his pants down a little.
John, are you available for, you know, digging up driveways and things like that?
I have my own jackhammer, and you know, I travel it. You know, I mean, it's something that you know, not everyone can do and not everyone is interested in. You know, I'm like if you ever need a, and I even got the boots, because, see, you have to have steel-toe boots, because, you know, sometimes if the hammer gets away from you, you know, I mean, us jackhammer guys don't always call it, you know, jackhammer. We sometimes just call it a hammer or ham, you know, ham. And, you know, but if the hammer ever gets away from you, then sometimes it'll bounce up on your foot, so you can't wear sneakers.
That would smart, wouldn't it?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the thing. You don't know Two-Toe Tony?
Two-Toe Tony, yeah, no, I don't know Two-Toe Tony.
That's what happened to Tony.
From the Battery Street Studios of KCBS Radio in San Francisco, I'm Matt Pittman, and this is Bay Current for Wednesday, December 29th. That's a clip from Coach Madden's January 6th, 2009 appearance on KCBS. At KCBS, we sit on thousands of hours of these, and I was deep in the rabbit hole before I finally just picked this one clip, because I was falling behind. Time was flying as I listened, mesmerized, laughing to tears. Coach Madden passed away yesterday at his home in Pleasanton, here in the Bay Area, at the age of 85. And the news was met with surprise, and certainly tears for many, tears of sadness and joy. I don't have to tell you how rare it is that one person, identifiable by a single name, is known intimately and affectionately across generations. Just as an example, to a grandparent here in the Bay Area, Madden was the coach that led the Oakland Raiders to the championship in Super Bowl XI in 1977. And to that grandparent's grandkid, Madden is the founder and namesake of their favorite video game. There is and will forever be only one John Madden. And I'll let someone far better equipped than myself tell the story. Stan Bunger hosted mornings on KCBS Radio the entire time John Madden was part of our family at KCBS. Stan takes it from here.
For a kid from Daly City, it was always a magic carpet ride for John Madden.
I have never worked a day in my life. I went from player to coach to a broadcaster, and I am the luckiest guy in the world.
His 2006 speech at his Pro Football Hall of Fame induction, of course, downplayed the reality. John Madden was one smart cookie who knew how to work hard, but who never forgot where he came from.
I've always felt that I'm the luckiest guy in the world. It's not something that was planned. When I went into the Hall of Fame and John Robinson was there, and just two doofuses from Daly City hanging out at the Relish Bakery at the top of the hill, and you end up in the Hall of Fame.
John Madden's career arc might have been different had the young Philadelphia Eagles draftee out of Cal Poly not suffered a knee injury. What he learned by watching the game led him into coaching at a young age, and at 32, he was the head coach of the Raiders. 10 years, more than 100 wins, including a Super Bowl, and many memorable moments.
Madden is on the field. He wants to know if it's real. They said yes. Get your big butt out of here. He does.
And then he walked away. He'd had enough. And years later would often speak of the harsh reality of the business.
Coaching is so tough today that the only way that anyone should do it is if they can't live without it. And if you can live without it, then you shouldn't do it, because there's no way you can just stick your toe in the water in this deal.
A retiree in his early 40s with a wife and two sons, and it didn't exactly play out the way he drew it up in his mind.
You'd say, yeah, I'm home now. I'm, you know, with my wife and the kids, and they're gone. They got stuff to do. They're here, they're there. And there was me and the dog.
But what happened next sort of came from nowhere. Big John Madden was suddenly everywhere, selling stuff on TV.
Excuse me. I'm not the same crazy coach who used to storm around the sidelines yelling at the officials. I've learned to relax, and I drink light beer from Miller. You know that light's got a third less calories than a regular beer? And listen to this. Light doesn't fill me up.
Hey, you get a tough case of athlete's foot. The itching, the cracking, the burning. You want a medicine that acts tough. Boom! Tough acting, tin acting.
And launching a 30-year run on NFL broadcasts where nobody'd ever heard anything like him before.
And then the minute it's over, you got to pull the pants
up. You always block, 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 and then you pull up your pants. Big old big cat, you got all this stuff going. You go whap, 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 whap. That's more than encroachment.
And if that wasn't enough, Madden's idea that maybe computers could be used to teach football led to the Madden NFL video game. The video game, now a cultural phenomenon in its own right. And somewhere in there, radio came calling, at first just a fill-in gig.
They wanted someone temporary to fill in until they hired the sports guy. And then when they hired the sports guy, I figured, boom, I'm done, that's it, no more radio. And they said, oh, no, you're still on.
Soon, John Madden was a Bay Area radio fixture, what broadcasters like to call appointment listening. After working with Bay Area radio legends Gene Nilsson, Frank Dill, and Mike Clary, Madden switched to KCBS in the summer of 1997. A big, successful man, unafraid to poke fun at himself, a winning formula.
So if I don't have something down in front of me in my shirt by noon, something's wrong. Dead last. Not second to last, not third to last, not fourth to last. Didn't win, didn't come in second, didn't come in third, didn't come in fourth. Dead last.
John was a busy man, traveling the country by bus to get to his network TV assignments and calling in from who knows where.
I'm doing fine. I'm down in Florida already.
I just left Santa Rosa, New Mexico. We just people there, so we're just like maybe 10, 15 miles outside of Santa Rosa.
We're right there where we're right by the salt flats. And we're right there where they pull the salt out of the salt lake, and then they just have like big mountains of salt here.
When you get down here in Georgia and Florida, there's more stuff creeping and jumping and crawling around the ground than you've ever seen in your life.
Part of the Madden magic was a keen eye for the human condition. For example, sneaking a partly eaten candy back into the box.
People that tell you that their kids don't do that, then they're not watching their kids. I mean, you know, they'll take a bite, you know, because they don't know. They'll take a bite, and if it's one they don't like, then they'll just put it back and then go get another one.
Those thousands of Madden segments generated millions of memories. We shared his life with him, the dogs, his long-suffering wife, Virginia, the kids and grandkids, the friends who themselves became familiar names. And the big moments, like when John retired from TV in 2009.
It's tough because, not because I'm not sure it's the right time. I mean, I really feel strongly that this is the right time, but I'm just going to miss everything about it because, you know, I enjoyed it so much.
And then finally, after battling a few health issues, it would be time to truly relax. Our morning conversations came to an end. Any of us, all of us, who came into John Madden's orbit were the better for it. A big man and an even bigger presence.
Thank you, Stan. And thank you to Coach Madden for the memories, the laughs, the smiles, and so much more. And to the coach's family and dearest friends, from our family here at KCBS and Odyssey, thank you for sharing him with us. Our hearts are with you. We invite you to subscribe to Bay Current on the Odyssey app, Apple or Google Podcasts, or just about anywhere you listen. And we're also on YouTube, on the KCBS Radio YouTube page. There's a link in the show notes. That's it for today's Bay Current. I'm Matt Pittman. We'll chat with you again tomorrow.
There you go, a little bit about John Madden.
Excellent. Very good. Excellent. That was great.
Yep. No, it was interesting. When he first started, if I remember, and I may have this wrong, but I think it's true, when he first started with CBS to do football, I think they paired him with Vin Scully. And I don't think there was enough time in the game for them both to talk enough to get everything in that they both wanted to say, because Vin Scully always had things to say and all that. They moved, they shifted around, and they got him with Pat Summerall, who was more taciturn, more quiet. You know, he had a good sense of humor, and he had been with Tom Brookshire. Tom Brookshire was kind of crazy too, but then they put him with John Madden, and that worked just as well because John Madden gave all the X's and O's, and Pat would say, "Oh, really? That I never knew all that, Pat." "Oh, yeah, that's what happens, you know, Pat." You know, and they just would feed off each other. They did many Super Bowls together. I don't know the statistics. Of course, they went together as a package. We were talking about packages before, went as a package to Fox when CBS lost the AFC, NFC, and Fox got it, and they were there and stuck with Fox, and then they, of course, he left. Pat retired, I think, first, and he didn't work with anybody else. I think he just went with Al Michaels at that point for the Sunday night on NBC. But as far as being a young coach, I remember when he was hired, and in '67 or so, and thinking, wow, 32-year-old coach, that's pretty amazing. And he was the youngest coach at the time of all the coaches, and he kept the Raiders right up there. They were contenders right along, and finally got that Super Bowl. And that's when he said, enough of this crazy coaching. And he did coach another couple of years. I think the last year he coached was the year that Darryl Stingley got hurt in the exhibition game with the Patriots and the Raiders. And the Patriots, I don't know, they just dropped the ball badly, the organization. They didn't keep anybody out there with him. I mean, here's a guy who's been paralyzed. John Madden went to see him every day. And, and he just really made sure that he had what he needed. The Patriots organization was kind of just didn't react. And it's very sad and not a good moment for the Patriots. But John Madden did, and he was very important to Darryl Stingley, made sure he had the care he needed. He, did get sent back here and had the best care in our hospitals in this area. But John Madden was really with him, right along, and really, felt for him. And I think that was the last year that he coached. I think he said he saw that on the field, and he said, I just don't want to be that involved. And then the next year he went into broadcasting.
You know, the other thing about Darryl Stingley, Chris, is that Marty Glickman was really affected by it. And when he retired, he mentioned Darryl Stingley, and the guy was just in tears.
Yeah.
And I remember that because I got to hear his retirement. If you go to YouTube and you can look it up, you could hear what he said in his last broadcast with the New York Jets. And the whole thing, I'm not sure if that was his last broadcast was, but the whole thing with Darryl Stingley was very, very, had an emotional effect on Marty Glickman as well, and I remember that quite well.
Well, the way they do it now, and we saw the extreme of it with DeMar Hamlin a couple, a little over a year ago now, there's a lot more attention to player safety. It's not perfect. There's certainly injuries. There's certainly severe injuries. But basically, all they did with Darryl Stingley, they just got him on a board and they took him out, did whatever. I mean, it was relatively primitive. Now they take people come, there's 20 or 30 people gather around and they test everything. And I'm not saying anything went wrong. I don't think there's anything they could have done. The hit was what it was. It's not that they could have, but it's just the idea that now there's so much more attention. And they continued the game, which they did not do. We had an injury that was nowhere near as serious as Darryl Stingley's, but the Patriots and Packers had a game in last August, an exhibition game. And, of course, an exhibition game doesn't mean anything anyway. And after the players had seen that, and it was severe and had stopped the game for about 15 minutes, they just didn't resume. So, there's a whole different attitude about injuries and everything else. And Darryl Stingley is the poster boy, I guess you'd say, for football safety. And it's become more of an emphasis. It's certainly not perfect. There's a lot of people who don't let the kids play football now because they're afraid for the injuries. But, John Madden was a key figure with Darryl Stingley's recovery.
And the only other injury, I don't want to belabor because I know we got to move on, but I think his name was Joe Caput. He was injured by the guy from the New York Giants. His last name is Taylor, and I can't remember the first name.
No, Joe Theismann.
Joe Theismann, and he was injured.
Joe Caput, he had a severe broken leg that they wouldn't show the replay. They showed it once, and then they would not show the replay.
And Taylor was so upset about it. He was the one that was calling over the officials to rush over as quickly as possible because it wasn't something that he had planned to do to hurt him. He just landed the wrong way and caused the problem, and it just really affected him. And my dad saw it, and I think I was home at the time. I'm almost sure I was, and it just affected him, and he was just really upset about it. So
it was a Monday night game, and there's been some famous things, of course, Monday nights. Then another famous injury was just last year on Monday night, the fourth play into the Jets season, where Aaron Rodgers was hurt and tore his Achilles tendon in the fourth play of the season, and that was right there on Monday Night Football too. So you know, there's been some amazing things that Monday Night Football has quite a history. But, yes, the Joe Theismann thing was one of the most gruesome things that people say they've ever seen.
Thanks, Chris. Bill, I think we can move on to, I guess...
It's your whatever. You, I think we're going to do...
it's going to be Bob Lewis at Bob Lewis show on WABC. But it's a time, I always say it's a time when radio is pleasant, at least for me. I know it's not that it hasn't been pleasant over the years, but it was a time I was 11 years old. I didn't have a care in the world. I mean, the nation could have been going downhill for all I knew. But it was a glorious time in our country in a sense. We had the Beatles, 1964, February 7th. Even my parents were watching on Ed Sullivan, and that's all we talked about that year quite a bit. It was the Beatles. The Beatles, the Beatles, the Beatles. And you get to hear probably one of the best. He hated to, he left WABC AM at some point to go to WABC because he wanted to be able to be more creative. He did a great job doing album rock at WABC FM, worked at WNEW FM, worked at WCBS FM. And he passed away in 1987 at the young age of 49.
Had he been with WMGM before he went to WABC, I think?
He was at WMGM, and before at WMGM, he was at WINS. And before WINS, he was in Long Island at radio station WGBB.
Okay. There you go.
Here we go.
This week in my Classic Air Check segment, we're featuring a radio announcer who I don't believe we featured before on All Things Radio Live. His name is Bob Lewis, but you'd know him as Bobaloo on WABC AM in New York City. Unhappy with Top 40 Radio, Bob Lewis would later leave WABC AM and move to WABC FM doing progressive rock. So without further ado, why don't sit back and listen to Bob Lewis, Big Bobaloo, on radio station WABC AM in New York City on February 7th, 1964, on this week's edition of All Things Radio Live.
I'll be right down on the satellite, exactly 14 and a half after the Witch in Hour 1, WABC Golden Chime Time. The sound of the super hits, the sound of the solid gold from the gold mine in the Grooveyard. Bobaloo, the Big Daddy digging the golden sounds from out of the past for you. And while we're in the Grooveyard, I want to remind you, if you dig the gold, we play every night at 1:15. You check in with Scotso at 7:15.
He's an All-American.
And he's loaded with gold.
On 77 WABC.
Time slide, work and die, variable people for it's who set for the past. 1960 gold we're going to play. It comes from the Imperials and Little A. Tears on my pillow. Old dust and gold dust from the Grooveyard to you from the Big Daddy, Bobaloo. Little Anthony and the Imperials on the satellite at 17 minutes after the Witching Hour 139 WABC degrees, raining in a night town, downtown New Yorktown. I told you before we had some word that there's some light snow coming down in northern New Jersey around Livingston. Bobaloo the Big Daddy here. We're going to send a night day card out to John Drought of New York City. And let's see, I got a special note about this one, as a matter of fact. He's a speednik. As a matter of fact, he says he does his homework 23% faster listening to WABC. Well, now, there is a new use for All-American Radio. You try it. Try doing your homework to WABC. Night Nick card also goes out to George and Pete Dummett, one each, of New York City. And Pete gets a Chick Nick card he's going to give to Fran Dreher of Astoria. A Dog Nick card goes out to Bosco Dummett. He belongs to George and Pete, and he lives in New York City, too. At least I expect he lives with him, you know.
77.
Bobaloo with you. Scooby-Doo yourself.
Yeah, but 70.
He did. 21 minutes after one. Time slide work and die variable people which are set for the past. Solid gold, whether you're home or in your car, you're going to dig the sound of the channel. Closer you are. The channel's on the satellite at 24 minutes after the Witching Hour 1, WABC Chime Time. 39 WABC degrees raining in our town, downtown New Yorktown. Bobaloo the Big Daddy here with the sounds from the happy stomping grounds. We're going to send a night day card out to Hank Lukeman of New York City, and he also gets a Chick Nick card to give to Janice Heatwall of New York City because he thinks she's the most beautiful gal in the world. Ravna Roche of New York City gets a night day card for herself. Dave Cassone of Harrison, New York gets a night day card and a Chick Nick card to give to Joan Capobello, and I guess Joan also lives in Harrison, and Dave thinks she's the most beautiful gal. Hey, Joanne, I'm sorry, Joanne Capobello. Let me see that night day card, the Chick Nick card that he gave you. Look at that. That's a fake Chick Nick card. Who gave you this fake Chick Nick card?
That little old bootlegger, me.
Yeah, well, you shouldn't do that. You got to have an original 1964 Night Nick or Chick Nick card. You get it from Bobaloo by writing to WABC New York 23 New York and saying, Daddy, lay a Night Nick card or a Chick Nick card on me. Give me your name and address, your girl's name and address, and don't forget to send a stamped, self-addressed envelope.
Oh, I will. I will.
Crazy.
77 WABC.
Beware of the phonies.
Where the action is.
Or anywhere else. 25 after 1. Time slide work and die variable beam purchase set for the past. He thinking all kinds of crazy things and such. Here's Solid Gold called You Talk Too Much. Joe Jones on the satellite, 1960. A boulder of the solid stuff from the Big Daddy right here on 77.
Well, for heaven's sakes, I'm doing the best I can.
I'm sure you are, baby, but you still talk too much. Bottle of the Big Daddy here on the satellite. Yeah, we're setting that die variable people purchase for the past, letting the time slide roll. Solid golden sounds from the gold mine in the Grooveyard. Duane Eddy, from the movie of the same name. 1960s style, this is Because They're Young. Satellite, there it is. Duane Eddy, all yours, and that is it. 15 minutes of solid gold from the gold mine in the Grooveyard. All of it coming your way on.
Oh, what a gooey mess.
WABC, AM and FM, New York. No, the Big Bob Lewis Show.
This is All American.
WABC. I'm an All American, I think.
All American.
Boom, boom, boom.
Who's everybody listen to when the day's through?
Ready to rocket.
In orbit with a pick of the week on 77, this is Kissin' Cousins.
That's right.
That's right.
That's right.
That's right.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, that's correct. That's Elvis Presley on the satellite. Pick of the week on WABC Radio Authority in New York Town. We check out at 26 and a half for the Witch in Hour 2. Bobaloo the Big Daddy sending a night nick card out to Dave Pachask of Springfield, Ohio. And he also gets a chick nick card for a gal in Springfield he thinks is a doll. And her name is Jan Peters. King of the Sky on the satellite, number one in New York Town, top of the All-American Super Hit Survey. Want to hold your hand on American Radio Headquarters for the Beatles, WABC, where I chime times 24 till 2. Bobaloo, the Big Daddy here with you on the satellite. Don't forget, 1:40 on Friday afternoon, coming Friday afternoon, the Beatles will arrive in America right here on WABC. Cousin Bruce and Scott's are going to be out there, and they'll be greeting the Beatles, and you can join us, and they'll be rebroadcasting it in Scott's show, and also in Cousin Brucey's show, and it's going to be a real blast. Also, I have something to talk about New York City. Did you know that New York's licensed dog population is more than 250,000? That's an awful lot of dogs. Keep your city clean. Curb your dog, please, and if you have any dogs you want to throw away, put them in a litter basket, all right? Turn off the bubble machine. Raining. Miss Gloria Lynn sings on the satellite, I Wish You Love. Gloria?
Goodbye!
Gloria Lynn. 20 minutes till 2 a.m. WABC chime time. Channel 77, the home of the All-Americans. Bobaloo the Big Daddy here on the satellite.
The Surgeon General says we must have 200,000 professional nurses with a bachelor of...
19 till 2, Bobaloo the Big Daddy sending Vin Mansfield of Flushing a night nick card and also a chick nick card that he's going to sign and give to Linda Ohl. Also, Lorraine Franco of Maspeth, Long Island gets a night nick card. Eric Edelman of Fairhaven, New Jersey gets one. And we're going to send our next record out with very special love to Danny from Pat because Pat believes his explanation, all right? 'Beat you, the swinging teacher right here on WABC where Red Hot Records make the Hitline Hotline super hit 77 in New York Town. Bobaloo the Big Daddy reminding you not to miss a special concert opera production of Semiramide starring Joan Sutherland at Carnegie Hall on Thursday, February 20th. And this is important because of the cause to which your dollars are going to go. This performance is for the benefit of Children's Village in Dobbs Ferry, New York. It's one of the world's outstanding intensive treatment centers for emotionally disturbed boys. To reserve your tickets for the performance, phone Chickering 30073. And as I said, this is important because these guys need help, and this is one way that they get excellent help. Chickering 30073, CH3ODO73, and tell them Bobaloo sent you.
All the weather on America.
It's still 39
WABC
degrees and raining cats. cats and dogs in our town, downtown New York Town. The man forecast for today, Friday, February 7, 1974. It's going to be partly cloudy and windy with seasonable temperatures, the high in the low 40s. Clear tonight, Friday night, with a low near 30. And then tomorrow, Saturday, going to be fair with seasonable temperatures. Again, right now, 39 WABC degrees in our town, downtown New York Town. Babaloo the Big Daddy riding all night on the satellite, setting the die variable people for it's here for the past, letting the time slide roll. 1958 style gold. Fabulous five satins. Of In the Still of the Night fame, that's To the Isle. Actually, that's my favorite of all the songs that the satins have recorded, including In the Still of the Night. I like this even better than that. 12 minutes before 2, there it is, from the gold mine in the Grooveyard to you from Babaloo on WABC, where you get all the sounds of all the All-Americans all day long on 77 in New Yorktown. Babaloo sending out a night nick card, a night nick card to Joe the Preacher, but he also is getting 35 chick nick cards. Imagine one guy sending in for 35 chick nick cards, 35 different girls' names and addresses. He's sending, he's going to give chick nick cards to, and he made me promise to call him nothing but Joe the Preacher so they wouldn't find out what his real name was.
He needs a doctor.
Yeah, it's a Joe, what do you got to say for yourself, baby?
Mama, they're crawling and creeping and twisting all over me.
This is why I commissioned you.
77 WABC.
WABC degrees, it's raining in our town. Hey, Pops, you want to grab a little what's left here? It's crazy. All right. Well, Louis Armstrong sing.
Hello, darling.
Hello there.
On the satellite, Babaloo the Big Daddy here, riding us out to Action Central News time. Mr. William Rice will be here in 5, at 5, before 2. The Marquettes, a little bit of Out of Limits on the satellite on WABC New York. Out of Limits at 5 till 2, WABC Chime Time. Babaloo the Big Daddy here checking out for Bill Rice and Action Central News. Other side of that, we're coming back with the great big sounds. And number 3 in New York, it'll be Leslie Gore and You Don't Own Me on the satellite. And also, we'll follow that up with the Beatles and My Bonnie. Major Lance, and the Rivieras and California Sun. Lots of gold, lots of goodies all here on 77 WABC, the all-night sound of...
WABC, Action Central News.
WABC, AM and FM, New York.
77 WABC.
Boom, boom, boom.
Who's everybody listen to when the day's through? Who is the DJ?
Satellite. Where the hits are is as simple to find as ABC, WABC, New York. The Beatles with us, My Bonnie. Yeah, there he goes, My Bonnie Lies to Everybody.
Please, I'm doing the best I can.
I'm sure you are.
Well, there you go. 77 WABC AM in New York City with Bob Lewis, Babaloo, on WABC's All Night Satellite Show. He really was a great radio announcer and had lots of talent. Sadly, he's no longer with us, but we have these air checks to remember him by. Now, if you have any comments concerning this part of the program, why don't you let me know about it by email or voicemail? The email address here is Jeff. That's J-E-F-F Jeff at allthingsradio.net. Or you can call that feedback line at 800-693-0595. That's 800-693-0595, the option 2 for the podcast team. For All Things Radio Live, I'm Jeff Bennett.
Thank you, Jeff. And it looks like that spurred on another raised hand, it's, I see.
It certainly has. So I'll ask Joe to unmute himself, and we can all make comments if we would like to. So, Joe, you're going to unmute yourself, please.
Also, audio now unmuted.
Go ahead, Joe. You're unmuted. Go ahead.
Okay. There we go. Thank you very much. I give you an A-plus for that air check from 1964. I knew all the songs. I got 100. Got myself on. But anyway, I enjoyed the 60s gold on Sirius XM, and whenever I can, I do the flashback on Friday on the legend, all things going on. But oh, mm-hmm.
While you mention that, Joe, I just want to tell everybody, may as well do it, that we will not be on tomorrow. Bill has another commitment. He's got a reunion to go with Jenny tomorrow night or Saturday. So we are not going to be able to have our show tomorrow. But when we come back, Joe, it'll be right up your alley. A week from on the 29th, we'll be doing 1955. So there you go.
Wow. Yeah,
all right. All right. And Ellen, I heard you in the background. What were you going to say, Ellen? I heard you meant you were talking in the background to Joe with Joe. Anything that you wanted to say quickly?
I liked it, too. That was a great air check.
All right. Thank you, guys. Thank you very much. All right.
Okay. All right. Well, it was interesting. No Denison Clothier.
I thought it was, too.
Yeah. No Denison Clothier yet.
No. But I got in so much trouble because I used to stay up all night long. And if my parents went out on a Friday night and he was on the air, my grandmother would go because she lived in the apartment diagonally across from me. And she'd come in. You're supposed to be asleep. And it would be 12 o'clock. And she would check to see if I was asleep. Turn off that radio. So I said, okay. Don't tell my parents. I'll turn it off. She'd leave. Turn it back on again.
You needed a headphone, I think, Jeff. That would have helped.
But yeah. My sister, but we had to share the same room. My sister didn't care. So she would say, just wait 30 seconds. Don't do anything. Don't say a word. Just wait another 30 or 40 or
77 seconds, actually, to be lucky. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, right.
That's so right. And she'd say,
50 seconds.
Turn it on now. Yeah. And then if I hear her coming and you're asleep, I'll turn it off quickly and I don't want to get you in trouble. So that's what happened in my household. But, mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it was a different time. I know there were problems in the country. Vietnam was coming on at that point, and of course,
had the assassination. It really, as I've said before, kind of got everybody out of the doldrums. At least the younger people out of the doldrums after the Kennedy, because it was a very weird Christmas in '63 for everybody. It was kind of a lackluster thing, you know. But then the Beatles, all of a sudden, the new year, and here's this new group and new artists were coming on the scene, and the music was changing. And, of course, the noticeable thing, and I don't know when exactly they implemented it, was the Beatle package that they didn't have. You know, who's got them? We've got them. Who's got the Beatles? We've got the Beatles, you know. And they didn't have all that yet, of course, because it was the Ed Sullivan Show putting them on the air that really pushed it over. Just being in New York got it started, but then putting them on the air for, I think, was it 3 weeks in a row that he had them?
Yeah. That's correct. Mm-hmm. Now, I know that they were live on some of them, but some of them were pre-taped, and they had taped segments to put on the show. But, yes, it was definitely an interesting time of life. And it was funny because the other thing I remember is we had a death of a relative of ours, and that Sunday we wanted to listen to the Ed Sullivan Show to watch the Beatles. And, of course, we were upset because we didn't know if we were going to be allowed to because the person who had passed away was my father's uncle, Clarence, who was my grandfather's brother, and we were at Clarence's sister's house, she said, go ahead, watch the Beatles. That's more important. Don't worry about things. Watch the Beatles. Yeah. You know how important it is.
Okay.
So that was really nice of them to do that, because that was definitely something that I'll never forget. And
yes, and that song that he was using that people may wonder about, it was called, that he took, made his jingles out of, was Babaloo's Wedding Day by the Eternals. It was out in 1957, which is a cool song. When we get into 57, we can stick that on there and you can hear it. But, you know, it was, he got another doo-wop group, somebody probably from New York.
No, actually, it was the Eternals.
It didn't sound like them.
He tells that story that it was the Eternals, and he thought that he was going to get in trouble because he had another version done by another group. But when the Eternals heard that he was doing it, and they were selling records like hotcakes, and they said, he asked them if they said, well, can we go into the studio? We'll record the jingle for you, and that's exactly what happened. But you're right, Bill. Right, Chris, you're right about that. So
yeah. So we'll play when we get to 57 in a few weeks. We'll play the Babaloo's Wedding Day, because it's a good song.
All right. Well, I know you guys want to watch March Madness, and the only thing I'm going to
say is...
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead,
I'm
Bernie.
I'm not turn my TV on tonight.
So. No, I just wanted to say, I remember a lot of discussion in the 60s about WABC initially not really embracing the Beatles. You know, they would have music meetings, and they gave thumbs down to the Beatles for songs.
Well,
yeah, but the
maybe
problem
they
was...
just didn't know who they were. I mean, I think by the time February, where we are here, obviously they were sending Scott Muni and Bruce, Cousin Brucey out to the airport. So they were on board. I think that they, you know, you've got people of a certain age. The music was different. If you know, sometimes you sit there objectively. Sometimes I do while we're doing the show and we're doing 1964 or something and I'm playing, you know, this and that. And then here comes this Beatles song. You say, you know, it really was different. At the time, it just seemed...
It was.
Well, here's the other thing. They had to embrace the Beatles by that time because Murray the K was very big with the Beatles. And WMCA was also working with the Beatles. And so they had to do something. And that's exactly what... And to show you how many listeners WABC had, there's an air check of Dan Ingram with Scott Muni, and where Scott Muni, the Beatles are in the building. The Beatles are in the where at the hotel they were staying, and that's where they were broadcasting from. And Dan Ingram says, "Hey, how would you like it if we played nothing but Beatle music all afternoon for the rest of the afternoon?" And everyone had a portable radio with them, and they're all screaming, and you can hear it through the microphones. I mean, that's just how popular they were.
That was, I think, when they came in the fall, you know, for their, you know, concert series. I think that was later in the year that they did that, because I think I've heard that air check and they're playing stuff that wasn't out yet. So that wasn't from the airport. This was when it was nice weather and people were outside listening, and they sang, you know, they had thousands of these girls singing 77 WABC.
That's exactly right, Chris. That's exactly right. I mean, you can't believe the reach that radio station had and the amount of listeners it had. And even when they went talk in 1982, I think it was, or 81, they still had a respectable audience. Well, obviously, you knew that things were changing. So let me turn
it over. There were songs, you know, just to say, they did hold up on things, and if they didn't know right away that it was going to be a hit, and they never played certain songs, they had. I heard a countdown that was played a few weeks ago from WABC from around that time, and the song "Surfin' Bird." Everybody's heard about the bird that wasn't on there, and it was a big hit everywhere else. They just didn't think it deserved to be on their radio station.
And then when they played it was.
Do that again, Chris. That was really good.
Thank you. Okay.
By the way, and that's what made WMCA so much different than WABC, because they would play stuff that no one else would play. They would get into some progressive type singles later on. They play more soul music, so that's what made them different. But I'll turn it over to Bill. So
it's like CFL versus WLS.
Right. Yeah. That's exactly right. Like CFL is like stuff that
WLS
wouldn't play.
Those who grew up out west never got to hear CFL except on air checks. So. Had I been able to hear them, that's what I would have preferred, I think.
Yeah, they were better.
I remember talking to Joel Sebastian, and he said, "Well, which one did you like?" He said to me when I talked to him on that he loved WCFL. And most of the people I've talked to loved CFL better than WLS. But that doesn't mean WLS wasn't good. Yeah. It's a matter of perspective.
And WLS was better. I think WLS was better than WABC because they allowed more of the personality of the guys were a little different from each other. And, you know, they had Art Roberts got to do things and, you know, more of the WABC became, and it wasn't as much then. You know, obviously he had this all night satellite there and he was doing his own thing and it wasn't as rushed. Later on, it got to be almost Drake-ish.
All right, we're
exactly
going to
Drake,
Marissa. Excuse me, but we're going to Marissa on the radio. We've already lost 15 listeners. Let's stop this for now.
Okay.
You know how to lose them. All right. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, panel. Thanks, Jeff. I really enjoyed that WABC one. Thank you so much. Bernie, we'll see you later, and thank you. Now, I'm really interested, Jeff, in what you're coming up with. This Marissa that works at all these different radio stations. However, her story's not unique anymore. There's a lot of people doing this.
Yes, you're quite right, Bill. It is
from
not unique.
Home, there's a couple that does a lot of them for ESPN and a lot of other networks, and they do them on the Fan, and they're really quite good at it. So, but it's Bernie. Maybe we should set you up a studio. You could just voice track for all these different stations.
Okay, let's go.
Yeah,
let's do it.
Let's make some money. All right, have a great week, everyone.
This week in my featured station segment, we're doing something that's radically different, something that we've never done before. I'd like to focus on the area of radio that you don't hear about too much. It's called voice tracking. where a radio announcer voice tracks for a number of different radio stations. I'd like to thank my friend JR for telling me about this radio announcer. Her name is Marissa, and she voice tracks for 6 different radio stations. But first, we'll start off by listening to her tell us all about all of the radio stations that she voice tracks for, but then we'll listen to her on 2 different radio stations, WSSV-FM in Saratoga, New York, and WXXX-FM in Burlington, Vermont. So without further ado, sit back and enjoy Marissa on the radio on this week's edition of All Things Radio Live.
Mix 104.1, Boston's best variety, 95XXX, put on hit 106.3, 92.1, The Wolf, Mix 94.1, 93.7, The Dude, today's best music, 96.3, WDVD, the new 107.7, Now FM, the classic rock station, 100.7, KGMO, your station, your music, Saratoga's Star Radio.
Saratoga's Star Radio is WSSV, Mechanicville, Saratoga Springs.
Your station, your music, Star Radio.
Jeremiah was a bullfrog.
Saratoga's weather.
Been another beautiful day here in the Saratoga Springs area. Tonight, we get a break from the clouds, overnight low of 36. Tomorrow, partly sunny and warm, high of 62 for your Thursday. And for Friday, some rain is possible in the morning, high of 55.
Your station, your music, Star Radio.
Your station. Your music, Saratoga's Star Radio.
Your station, your music, Saratoga's Star Radio. I'm Marissa. Don't forget, Ann and Raven can now be heard weekday mornings right here on Star as we are less than a week officially from spring. And man, can you tell around here? Saratoga's Star Radio.
Your station, your music, Saratoga Star Radio.
This is wild. I swear.
Your station, your music, Saratoga Star Radio. I don't know if I want to bring it up, but have you looked at the calendar? Do you see what day it is? Do you know what happened 4 years ago on this day? And I don't want to be the one that jinxes it because I feel like, you know, this year has mirrored a lot of things from 2020 and we don't need to go back to that. But I do very much remember not even knowing where to live when all that happened. So, like, do I stay in Boston? Do I come back home to the Capital Region? The short story is I slept on a futon in my childhood bedroom for about 6 months surrounded by my dad's collectibles. So clearly it was a weird time to say the least. So let's just knock on some wood. Okay. Let's not go back there. Wash your hands. Black Eyed Peas coming up next. Saratoga Star Radio.
Your station.
No wonder why sometimes
we are Saratoga's Star Radio. Do you believe in love and love? Your station, your music, Saratoga's Star Radio.
Well, 3:35 here on Saratoga's Star Radio. As a reminder, today is the big grand reopening day of Wilton Mall's new movie theater. And because of that, movies, just $3.
Hearts go astray.
Your station, your music, Saratoga's Star Radio.
If you see me walking down the street, now you really gotta go so walk.
Your station, your music, Saratoga's Star Radio. My name is Marissa. Thank you so much for having us on this afternoon. You know, I was saying before, we are less than a week from spring, And that means you're going to see a lot of these local seasonal stands open in the next like week or two. You know, Snowman and Troy has opened. You got Pirates in Half Moon. I believe they are opening today. I could be wrong on that. Maybe it's tomorrow. But Queensberry, the Queensberry ice cream staple that has been there for 77 seasons, that is opening Saturday at 11, right by Six Flags Great Escape. So, I mean, that is always a summer favorite for sure when you're getting out of the amusement park. You get the biggest cone there I've ever seen. Coming up, Queen is going to start us next on Saratoga's Star Radio.
Learn what's happening locally on Star's Community Calendar, heard 8:30 weekday mornings. Brought to you by Capital District Contractors, trusted area craftsmen for nearly 40 years.
Your station.
Saratoga's Star Radio.
Your station, your music, Saratoga's Star Radio.
Your music, Saratoga's Star Radio. Been hearing from a lot of different people. If you're on any of my socials, hey, Marissa on the radio, Instagram and Facebook. But Jessica's listening in Saratoga Springs. I know Darcy just downloaded the Star app, so she's got us on in North Adams, Mass. Appreciate that for sure. AC/DC, it's Back in Black, Saratoga's Star Radio.
Your station, your music. Saratoga Star Radio. Your station, your music. Saratoga's Star Radio. Station Saratoga Music Star Saratoga Radio. Star Radio.
Without you.
Well, hello, lady.
Could you deliver a baby if you wanted to?
I think so. I mean, I think that it just happens, right? At some point, that baby's coming out with or without me.
Okay, so we have Deandra on line 20. She's going to walk us through it. Finally. Good. We have a real OBGYN on the phone.
Very nice.
Oh, God. Thank God.
I'm not an OBGYN.
Oh, you're not?
Oh, you work in OBGYN, and you've seen movies. That's enough.
Elvis Duran.
Elvis Duran is back in the show.
95XXX. Let's go.
Now playing on 95XXX.
Dua Lipa, Training Season.
All right, be honest. How much green beer is in your system right now? It's okay. Everybody's Irish this weekend. 95XXX.
I'm sorry that you love me. But I still got your number and your necklace. Kisses to my ex.
95XXX.
I'm finding ways to articulate the feeling I'm going through.
What's up, guys? It's Doja Cat.
It's Justin Bieber.
Hey, this is Olivia Rodrigo.
Burlington and Plattsburgh's hit music station.
95XXX. Oh, not another tape.
Oh, it's like that. I'm 95XXX, a happy St. Patty's Day weekend. You know what's exciting? Champlain Valley Auction's about to kick off, and all weekend long, you get a preview of all the amazing deals that you could get at ChamplainValleyAuction.com.
Same bed, but it feels just a little bit bigger now. When I was your man.
95XXX.
Hey, listen.
Burlington and Plattsburgh's hit music.
Catch me or go Houdini. 95.
stars of tomorrow are heard here on Next Rated.
These two artists have taken the local hip-hop scene in Burlington by storm. They go by the names of Misunderstood and Funky Diabetic. And I'm going to be talking to both of them this Sunday at 7.
Next Rated. 95XXX.
Love it.
Let's go.
Burlington and Plattsburgh's hit music. Burlington and Plattsburgh's hit music.
Woo, awesome!
95XXX.
Here we go.
WXXX South Burlington.
Burlington and Plattsburgh's hit music.
95XXX, whatever you want to do for St. Patty's Day to celebrate. I mean, there's just a whole ton of stuff going on around town, so make sure you find what's best for you. If you want to stay in, Lindsay Lohan's new movie, The Irish Wish, is over there on Netflix, so you can go ahead and stream that too. It's 95XXX.
Well, there you go. Marissa on the radio is heard on two different radio stations. We started things off by listening to Marissa on the radio on radio station WSSV-FM, Star Radio from Saratoga, New York, and then we traveled to Burlington, Vermont, and listened to Marissa on the radio on WXXX-FM, 95XXX from Burlington, Vermont. And if you want to know more about Marissa on the radio, follow her on Facebook and Instagram. And if you have any comments concerning this part of the program, want to let me know about it by email or voicemail. For All Things Radio Live, I'm Jeff Bennett.
This concludes another All Things Radio Live. Join us every Thursday at 6 p.m. Eastern for the latest radio news, interviews, caller questions and comments, station scopes, and more. Visit the show's official website at www.allthingsradio.net and visit the Legend website at legendoldies.com. Join us again next week for another All Things Radio Live on the Worldwide Legend.